I had heard, you never want to go to the furthest west of the Amazon. I got to Brazil, you're going to Beijing, the furthest west of the Amazon.
Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. What happens when a lifelong atheist suddenly discovers that God is not an idea, but a living personal presence? And what happens when that presence is the only thing standing between unbearable grief and the will to live?
Today you'll meet Dr. Janie Unruh, a highly trained public health professional whose life was transformed not by education or evidence alone, but by an undeniable encounter with Jesus Christ. Through profound loss, searching prayer, and a step-by-step journey of faith, Janie discovered that God is real. His word can be trusted, and truth is not something we create, it is something we receive.
Janie's story reminds us that when Jesus reveals himself, everything changes. Our pain, our purpose, and our path forward.
I'd like to share my journey today from the time that I was born again until the time how I became an Adventist. And after my husband had passed away in an amazing journey that God had brought us on, I was in this bubble. My brother and I decided to drive up to Oregon from Southern California to go visit my grandparents. And all of those hours up there, I was sharing with my brother all of these things that had been happening to me and the convictions, when I was reading the Bible and how the Bible was just being animated and coming to life in my mind. And I didn't know anything about God as far as I understood in my mind. I identified as an atheist, and I fully believed it, and I lived like one. And now I'm having all these experiences that I don't understand. I'm sitting quiet for the first time after hours of sharing with my brother. He's politely just listening. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I'm doing this to myself. And I wonder if I can make that feeling go away. You know, this bubble and something that was so exterior to me. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I can just like wish it away, talk, you know, just say if it can go away. And just like that, it was gone. Immediately, from this calm person sharing God to I was completely unreasonable, I was unmanageable, I was crying, I became immediately suicidal. I was trying to open up the passenger's door to jump out because I did not want to live anymore. I just wanted to kill myself. Because the pain was so intense, and it was like an elephant on my chest, and I couldn't breathe. And in the pain, and again, I had to look at my skin, and I had to touch myself, because now I am just in a panic. I'm trying to undo my seatbelt. I'm trying to open up the door, and my brother is just like, "What happened to you? What is going on?" And he is holding on to my seatbelt, and I am beating his hand, and I am uncontrollably crying. And I said, I don't even want to live anymore. I don't want to live. I don't want to live. I just want to die. I just want to jump out of the car. And after a couple of minutes of fighting with him and realizing that I couldn't get his hand off my seatbelt, he said, or I'll take my hand off your seatbelt if you promise me you won't jump. And I just slumped in my chair, and I said, I promise. And I just thought to myself, what have I done? And when we finally got to my grandparents' house, it was probably about 8 p.m. I went into my room, and I just knelt down, And I said, God, is this you? Is this real? Like, are you actually real? Please come back if this is you. And I just was crying and crying. And I ended my prayer and I didn't even stand up. I just went from a kneeling position to the bed and I crawled into bed. I woke up the next morning and then I paused for a moment and I recognized the bubble was back. And I said, God, it's you. This is really you. You're actually real. One of the things that I felt so compelled to do was to find now a church. I started church bouncing from one to another, sometimes going 7 to 10 churches a week. And then my brother and I, we decided to move from my grandparents' house to my mom's house up into Washington. And I was telling my mom about my desire to find a church and to find a group of people who found what I found. And she said, why don't you try the Foursquare Gospel Church? And that is where I found a group of people who actually found what I found. And I recognize now that I was solid. Once we left Washington and then we went back down to California, I continued to search church after church, again, nothing. But there was one church. I had that thought. It was exterior from me. This is your church for now, but don't get too comfortable. I didn't know what that meant. And so I just stayed at that church and was blessed and learned about God, learned about the Bible, but I never really made friends with anybody because I did not want to be stopped because God said, don't get too comfortable. And then my sister went to a Christian family camp and invited me. And as I went there, I talked to some missionaries from Mexico and they invited me to my very first mission trip. And I knew that was from God. This started a journey of doing medical missionary work. And it was such a joy to be down there. When I came back, I knew that God was leading me to do mission work again. So I actually got involved through one thing after another with the SIMS program at Loma Linda. I didn't know anything about Adventists. All I knew was in the phone book, I knew they went to church on Saturday. It didn't really occur to me to even go to one of their churches because I didn't know anything about them. I knew most people go to church on Sunday. So that must be the day. So I started going down to El Hongo, Mexico with a SIMS group who really enjoyed my company because I actually was a licensed nurse and they were students. But that started from me going from one mission trip to another with them. And then as God was calling me, I was in the ICU burn unit working as a nurse. And I was banking all my extra hours every week. So I would do 16-hour shifts back to back multiple times a week if I could. HR was calling me, letting me know that I had maximized my hours and it's either use it or lose it. So me and God in partnership, okay, God, when should I take off? He and I would sit down with my calendar and he'd impress me on when to take off. And then I'd say, okay, God, I'll know you're leading me if my boss says okay. And she would okay it. Okay, God, now where do I go? All right, God, I'm going to be calling these different mission places and you tell me who needs a medical missionary nurse. And I'd call around until one needed me on that exact date. I knew that if a mission did not want me on that date, even if it was a day earlier, a day later, I knew it wasn't from God. And I would say, no, these are my dates. And always, without exception, God always led me to a mission trip on that exact date. And that happened multiple times. And then I started going down to South and Central America and doing missionary trips in lots of different places. And then I realized that God was calling me to long-term missions. I started looking around for long-term mission and I found a secular place where the doors opened for me. And they were waiting close to a year for me. And when we were about 10 months in to the waiting period, I just had this stirring in my heart that I am going to the wrong place, that I am to be going with a Christian group, not with a secular group. And I'm like, God, I really need to hear from you because these people have been waiting for me and I'm gonna have to let them down. I hardly can't take that. I mean, this is like so irresponsible of me. And I just really, really needed to hear from God that this was Him. And my passion was to go to Brazil on the Amazon. And so I said, God, can you lead me to the Amazon? I told my mom, I said, boy, I just feel like I'm going with the wrong group. I'm supposed to be going with a Christian group. And I have no idea why I feel like that. But just my heart is stirring. I'm doing the wrong thing. And she says, well, I have a friend in Loma Linda in the mission group, and why don't you talk to her? I said, Mom, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. And she says, well, you've already been doing lots of mission trips with Adventists. So I said, God, I'm gonna go see this lady in the missions department at Loma Linda. And if you're leading me, then she will say that there is a place in Brazil on this date that I am supposed to leave with this other secular group. So I went to go talk to her and I started fasting and praying. And she called ADRA and talked to them because it was later in the afternoon, almost closing time for them, nothing available in Brazil. But a couple hours later, she calls me back and she says that they might have an opening in Brazil on the Amazon and that ADRA wouldn't open until morning, so I'd have to call them in the morning to kind of get the information. I was really fasting and praying. I'm like, God, is this, might this happen? And so I called ADRA the next morning and I told her, I said, I'm not trying to make my emergency your emergency, but I'm supposed to be leaving with a secular agency on this date. And I just want to know if you have something available for that date, not before or after, that date. And she said, why don't you call the director down there? But I want you to know, and here's his number, but I want you to know sometimes he's gone for a couple of months at a time. And he's got a whole fleet of boats out on the Amazon, and he's visiting each one, and sometimes he doesn't return our calls for a few months. And I have no idea whether he's home or not. So I am really excited. Might this be happening? And I said, okay, God, if you're leading me, then he will answer the phone. If he is gone, one of his kids, I have no idea if he's married, if his wife or somebody else answers the phone, answering machine, I'll know you're not leading me. He has to answer the phone. So I called, he picks up the phone. I start talking to him. I tell him my little emergency. And I said, again, I'm not trying to make my emergency into your emergency, but I do kind of have to know really quickly. And he said, well, I really appreciate you calling, but we don't accept non-Adventists for long-term missions. And I said, totally okay. I accept that because I prayed that God would use your voice to speak to me. And if your answer is no, it's not you, it's the voice of God. And I totally accept it. And he said, I told him, you know, that I had been on several mission trips already with Adventists. And he said, well, let me tell you why we don't accept non-Adventists. And I said, oh, no, please, you owe me nothing. It's all good. I'd already prayed about it, so if you owe me nothing. Well, just let me tell you. I said, okay. Well, as Adventists, we don't eat unclean meat like pigs. And I said, oh, pigs are disgusting. I gave up that long ago. Oh, well, as Adventists, we don't smoke. Oh, I've never smoked. That's just a disgusting habit. And it's very expensive. And he says, oh, well, and we don't drink alcohol. And I said, oh yeah, God's already dealt with me with my alcohol. I have not drank since the day that I come to know the Lord. And he says, oh, well, and our women generally dress a little more modest. And I said, oh, I know exactly what you mean, because God's really been dealing with me with my dress too. And he said, oh, and he just kind of went on with this. And I kept saying, yeah, God's already been working with me. And he said, you know what? Why don't you come? And I said, oh no, your first answer was no. I'm not going to bust through any doors, you know, because this is between me and God. You know, you're just the innocent middleman. And he said, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you until tomorrow. I'm going to call you at this time, and I'll give you time to uninvite me. He agreed, and I'm fasting and praying. I'm like, Lord, is this really happening? Could it really be that I'm going to Brazil on the Amazon? My heart's desire, and I'm continuing to fast and pray. And I called the next day, and he picked up the phone again, and I said, okay, you know, this is Janie. Did you think about uninviting me, or did you think about it? And he said, about what? And I said, well, uninviting me. He said, no, I made my decision yesterday. And I invited you, and I'm keeping the invitation. I got to Brazil, did my 2 weeks stint of learning about jungle nursing. And during this time, I had heard, you never want to go to the furthest west of the Amazon. And because they have pirates, they have cocaine fields, they have people that jump ship, and you know, you might lose your life, your passport might be stolen. And I said, okay, God, don't send me to the furthest west of the Amazon. And then when I talked to the pastor, you're going to Beijing, the furthest west of the Amazon. And I said, and I hightailed it back to my room, got on my knees, and I said, no, God, I'm not going there. But through one miracle after another, I ended up going there. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to teach me the language. You're going to have to teach me jungle nursing. You're going to have to teach me to improvise, because most of the time I had heard that that we don't even get supplies out there, because the pastor would give supplies to all of the closer in places as he visited them. And by the time he got to the last, there was nobody left. So I said, Lord, you just have to teach me everything. I am so scared. And he just calmed me down and he brought me peace.
Friends, Dr. Janie Andrews' story reminds us of something deeply personal and eternally important. God is not distant. He is not silent, and he is not a theory. Jesus met Janie at the lowest moment in her life, when grief was crushing, when hope felt impossible, and when living felt unbearable. And instead of turning away, Christ stepped in and held her together.
The same Jesus who restored her peace, who guided her step by step, who led her into truth through his word, is reaching for you today. Salvation is not about finding the right church first. It's not about having all the answers. It's about responding when Jesus calls your name and says, come, follow me. God didn't overwhelm Janie with everything at once. He walked with her patiently through scripture, through prayer, conviction, and love. And he will do the same for you.
If you're hurting, if you're searching, if you've ever wondered whether God is real or whether the Bible can be trusted, Janie's story testifies to this truth. Jesus is alive. His word is true, and he saves completely.
Today, we invite you to take one simple step. Open God's word, talk to him honestly, and ask him to lead you. He promises, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you've lost, Jesus Christ is still calling. And when he does, following him leads to life.
When I first got there to Beijing, I asked the other young lady missionary with me, "Why do you go to church on Saturday? I go to church on Sunday, so you know we're going to be together for a while. So why?" She opened up the Bible to the fourth commandment, and I read it, and I literally slammed my Bible closed, because I had been told by some people in my family that they would disown me if I became an Adventist. So I did not want to study with them. I did not study with them. I knew that I needed my own journey here, and I wanted to hear God. So the first thing God tried to teach me was a Sabbath. I literally held out my arm physically, and I said, "No, God, I'm not going there. Is there anything else that my church taught me wrong?" And all this time, I thought that my husband was in heaven. And so I started to understand about the state of the dead. And when I learned that he was actually sleeping, I was just literally set free. And my whole life changed, everything, because I had been living my life as if he was watching me in heaven. And I knew I'd never get married again, because I wanted to make heaven a really wonderful place for him. And then I started learning about, and then I was kind of smug, "Well, is there anything else that my church taught me wrong?" And he started teaching me about the millennium, about the truth of his return, about the return, the second coming, and even about the earth millennium, and even the time prophecies, because my pastor had taught me the 2300-day prophecy before I left, and I had those notes with me. And those Adventists that were with me were amazed that I understood the 2300-day prophecy. And so it was just one thing after another after another. Sometimes it would take 2 days to get to the next village. And so sometimes I would just sit on the boat and study for like 2 days. And for hours and hours and hours every single day, that's all I did, 8, 10 hours a day. I was in my Bible. I was studying, reading from Genesis to Revelation, and I was just amazed at what I was learning. And then at the very end, I said, "God, you've taken me on quite a journey." This has been now almost 5 months later. I'm ready. I now know that I can find truth in your Bible, and I can trust you. So I'm willing to learn about the Sabbath. This was a very, very big step for me, because I knew that my family was on the line. And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm just going to do a word search. Everywhere in the Bible that uses the word Sabbath, I'm going to look it up." And so I actually had a sheet, a paper, that I wrote down every single verse. So I was looking at the Sabbath, studying day after day after day, and I finally realized that the Bible Sabbath is from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. But my test was, "God, I now understand that the Bible Sabbath is from Friday night to Saturday night, but does it matter to you what day I go to church?" And I said, "God, I'm going to fast between now and the day I die, unless you intervene. Because if I lose my family, I lose everything." Listening to everything that everybody had to say. Is God speaking to me through the wind? Is he speaking to me through a person, through a song, through a bird? I was so in tune with God that he was my very breath. Every breath that I took, I knew was him. And I was just searching and searching and searching, until finally, several days later, I go to the pastor's house, and I walk in, and he's listening to a tape in English. And I went to the pastor and I said, "I thought you didn't speak English," because I learned how to speak Portuguese through an amazing way. And he said, "Well, I don't know English." I said, "Why are you listening to something in English?" And he said, "It's being dubbed over in Portuguese. And I said, "Wow." I mean, and it was like lightning hit me that my answer was in that tape. And I was still fasting. Nobody knew why I was fasting. I would not tell anybody. I didn't dare tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to interfere. This had to be between me and my God because my family was on the line. I glued myself to that tape. I prayed and prayed. I don't know what I'm going to listen to, Lord, but it's either a yes or a no, that it either matters or doesn't matter to you what day I go to church on. And it was Mark Finley, Mark of the Beast.
It's more than a matter of days. It's a matter of masters. It is time for you to make a decision and take a stand on the side of truth.
I just, at the end of that, I was so convicted and I just start crying and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for my hard heart. I didn't understand what I was rejecting. And then, so I was so excited about everything that I'd learned, and I gone back to the pastor now because now it had been 5 months and my visa didn't get extended, and I'm meeting the pastor. I was so excited. I went to his house and I said, Pastor, you will not believe everything that I just learned. I learned about the Sabbath. I learned about the state of the dead. I learned about the millennium and the second coming. And he was just standing there calmly and patiently, and he said, Welcome to the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
As Janie shared with us, everything changed when she discovered that God is real and that His Word could be trusted. In seasons of grief, confusion, or searching, the Bible became the place where Jesus met her personally. And friend, if you're longing for peace, clarity, or direction, God wants to speak to you too. When you open the Bible with a sincere heart, Jesus meets you right there.
To help you on that journey, we'd love to send you our free Bible study guides, designed not just to share information, but to help you understand why you believe and to experience the healing power of God's truth. Thank you to everyone who supports It Is Written Canada through your prayers and financial gifts. Your generosity allows stories like Janie's to reach hearts across this nation and around the world. If today's program has encouraged you, please share it with someone you care about.
In order to keep this ministry on the air, we truly need your support. You can make a donation on our website. You can additionally follow us and share our content on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel and listen to our podcasts.
Friends, if you want the joy and peace that only Jesus can give, open God's Word daily. Remember how Jesus Himself overcame the temptation to do His own thing. He said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.